Hello and welcome to the fourth Music Business Worldwide podcast, supported by CI, digital music delivery experts, working with some of the biggest independent labels, distributors and aggregators in the world. Once again, we've got an icon of the global music industry sitting in the room with us. He's someone who founded the legendary Creation Records in 1983, working with artists including Primal Scream, My Bloody Valentine, The Jesus and Mary Chain, Super Furry Animals, Ride, and of course, Oasis. Following Creation, our guest started the Pop Tones label in the early noughties, signed artists including The Hives, who he broke to platinum before winding the label down. He's now very much back, started Creation Management again in 2014. Signings there currently include Jesus and Mary Chain, Happy Mondays and Black Grape. And we're hearing rumours that he's getting back into the label game as well. So Alan McGee, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, hey Tim.
I've been seeing you write on Facebook about Clark and McGee Limited.
Yeah, well, it's just an indie that me and Mick Clark have started. And I met Mick in the 90s and we were both insane, I suppose. He was really passionate about music and then we stayed friends and it's kind of through social media, weirdly. You know, I'm actually not one of the people that hates... I don't really like the Twitter thing, but I actually quite like the Facebook thing.
And, yeah.
We kind of stayed friends through it. Initially, we had no idea that we wanted to try and do a label or anything like that. That wasn't the plan at all. And it was just we just went round people, and it seemed to be that the music business wanted me to have a label for some unknown reason. But anyway, that was the context. That was how I got back involved in running a label, you know. So we've got a distribution deal with ADA, and we've got one new act, Willow Robinson. And where it goes from here, I don't really know, really. I mean, we're going to go slowly, probably go for investment. At that point, we may sign another three acts or something. But I can't see it being bigger than, ever really being bigger than like four acts or something like that. It's not like a boutique label of Warner Brothers, you know. So it's like, it is an independent label, but we're going to do, well, we've done it. We've done a deal with Warner Brothers for distribution, you know.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you heard music industry people saying it'd be good to see you back running a label.
Well, they all say that, but I mean, yeah, I mean, Warner's actually said, yeah, do you want to do it? Do you know what I mean? You know, they all say, yeah, it's good to have them back in the business. I mean, I've got a lot of friends at Warner, so I mean, you know, like Seymour Steins, I've been friends with him for 30 years.
Yeah.
He, you know, done Primals and Ride and Valentine's all in America. And then, crazily, he never did the label deal. Sony did the label deal, and then it ended up Sony got Oasis. But it should have really been with Seymour and Warners. I mean, I wanted it to do it with them.
The Creation deal.
I wanted it to do it with them, but you know, they found it. I think they found it too awkward or something. I don't know, but I think it was because basically they had invested money in these other three acts. Weirdly, anyway, when I'd done that deal, I never even had Oasis. 6-8 months later, I had Oasis.
So this was Sony buying into Creation, basically.
Yeah, but I asked Seymour to do it, and he didn't really want to do it. He wanted to keep the deal the same way as it was. And Seymour's very, very morally independent, you know. I mean, you know, like, you know, he really believes in the independent structure of record companies. He's an incredible man, you know.
Yeah.
So he thought that I was kind of giving away too much by letting the major buy in. In a way, he was correct, but it was the only way we could go forward was to embrace, you know, like that thing, you know, that you know, like being involved with Sony, you know.
Signing with the ADA deal now, was Seymour a factor in that? I mean, he's there as sort of...
Yeah, he was. I mean, at first that was like, I don't know, you know. And then he was a factor in it, and Willow was a factor in it, yeah. And then Mick. But it's like, you know, it's really at the start of that, so it's like there's not that much to report back other than we've done a deal, you know, and we're just getting it together. We're actually going to do a night, October the 27th, at the Notting Hill Arts Club, and we're going to put on Willow and we're going to put on Pete McLeod. I mean, genuinely, I think... It sounds weird, but we're both doing it for the right reasons. He's a good man, Mick Clark, and he's a really, really sharp guy. You know, I always thought he was good musically, but he's a really, really, really bright guy. So it wasn't a shock that he did find himself in the 90s doing well with left field, and you know, in the 80s doing with Soul to Soul. So kind of two guys that have come together, you know what I mean, you know.
It is exciting to hear that it's happening and that you're going to be back.
Yeah.
I know that, you told me previously that you went away, sort of invested in property and it all went very nicely. So
yeah,
you're not doing this for the cash.
I mean, I'm not doing the label for the cash. The management thing, you know, does make money, but it's like, you know, and the label thing may make money, you know, I'm sure the publishing will make money, but it's like, but yeah, I mean, the property thing's a whole completely other thing, you know, that my wife runs, but yeah, I mean, when Britpop happened, I think the expression is spunked it, so, and, you know, I bought about 9 houses, and 20 years later, they're worth X, you know, so it's good.
So where I was leading with that was, if the cash isn't the motivator, let's put it, then is it still possible to make money as a label in the music industry these days?
I don't know, we'll find out. I mean, you know, I don't know if... I think the label's an amazing thing to have, to access money. I think publishing companies obviously make money. But, I mean, it's not... We're not anti-making money, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to come across as if I'm, you know, like, an uber-socialist or anything like that, because I'm not, you know. The good thing about me and Mick is that we actually just want to do it more than it's about money or anything, do you know? Nobody's handed us £100,000 each and went, get on with it, you know. It's not like the old days.
One thing that really strikes me about Creation, I watched the Upside Down film the other night in preparation again.
Yeah.
And, all your acts, and obviously I'm sure there were fractures in these relationships along the way, but all of your acts really seem to...
Except Noel, but I mean, apart from Noel, yeah, I've kind of fallen out of them all.
That was what I was going to ask.
No, but not anymore. I mean, I got on with them now.
Yeah.
But at the time, I never spoke to Gillespie for about 5 years once.
But you went to school together with him, didn't
you?
Yeah,
he's been he's my best friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a... I've been friends with him for 44 years. But, I mean, best friends fall out. So, I mean, you know. But I think we fell out over something, over, like, a bad joke or something. And I never spoke to him for 5 years. And then I met him up a mountain. And with Geldof, of all people, Geldof said, there's Gillespie getting out of a car, and went, no, it's a girl. And it actually was Gillespie. So, you know, he's so skinny, I thought it was some bird getting out of a car. Do you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I know, once we saw each other, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah. I was going to say, that watching it, you seemed quite close to all your acts then. They seem to respect you.
I'm honest with them. And, you know, I've always got on... I mean, the ones that I'm getting on with... You know, the ones that I've got now under management and stuff like that, yeah, I got on really well. I mean... You know, we wouldn't really work with somebody that we didn't go on well with. You know, the Mary Chain I've known for 30 years, really. And I think it was... I probably ended up back managing them again because it was like... They tried all the different variations and it hadn't quite worked for them. So it ended up back where they started. And,
yeah.
And it was a good way to re-enter music management. But, the management thing's really exciting. To be honest, I'm... Really, really excited about that. The label is really good fun, and let's see where it goes. It's an indie, you know what I mean? You know, so, you know, you never know with indies. It's like, you know, they can blow up, they can tank, I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, the exciting thing is that I think as a partnership, me and Mick are really good. So I think it could be, I think one is going to find something really good, I think, you know.
It's been noted, not just by me, that Liam Gallagher could do with a decent manager at the minute.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if he's got a manager. Do you know what I mean? You know. I can't see me ever working with Liam just because, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I love him, but I don't think he's ever got his head around the fact I don't drink. Do you know what I mean? You know. So I can't see like I'm having a teetotal manager somehow. Do you know what I mean? You know, I think he thinks he's a bit like, you know, like effeminate or something. Do you know what I mean? You know, having a teetotal manager. So I can't see that happening.
But you're still in contact with both Gallaghers.
No, I don't even know Liam's phone number, but I really like Liam, you know, cards on the table. He's a good man. He's a good guy, and I think he's had a lot of kind of stuff that's happened to him in his personal life. It's been kind of like, you know, it's went the wrong way for him, but he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Noel I got on great with, and, you know, he's cool. He's a good guy. He's great, you know, and, you know, I like them both, you know, but I'm close with Noel. Yeah. You know, and, you know.
I think Noel's got the biggest first week sales in the UK this year.
I think he just won an award at the Q Awards. Somebody just texted me something. I don't know what he won.
Thanks for missing it for us, by the way.
I never go to anything. I deliberately never go to absolutely anything. I get asked to give the Primals the Ivor Novello Award, but I can't remember who asked me to do it, but I think it was Angie Teenage Cancer Trust asked me to do it, and it wasn't about the Primals. I just really hate music biz events, so I just don't go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I'm lucky, I'll never go to another one. But I had one really funny story, I suppose, you'll probably quite enjoy. It was about, I remember for about 1 year in 2005 or something, I had a deal with Pop Tones with Universal. But it was unfortunately, it was a year I got really ill and... About 2004, maybe, I had anemia. I was managing the Libertines, and I got anemia.
Yeah.
And I was just getting over that, and Pop Tones had signed a deal with Universal, and, like, the people that ran, I think it was Greg Castell, that ran Phonogram, I think it was at the time, said, oh, we really want you to come on their table. And I was like, oh, fuck's sake. So I went anyway, and I was at the table.
What's this? Is it Music Week Awards?
No, it was the Brits.
Yeah.
And Kasabian had just got big, and they were walking past. It must have been the first year Kasabian had ever been there. And I kind of knew, I'd put them on in 2002. And that's how Liam had got into them.
Yeah, for the Death Disco.
Yeah. And I'd put them on. And Serge and the little blonde guitar player was walking past, but Serge had one of his big hats on, and I went, Serge, and he went, McGee. I went, how are you, man? He went, I love that old stuff. And he wasn't being ironic. Yeah. It was brilliant, and I loved it. It was like, it was funny as fuck, you know what I mean? He was like, I love that old stuff, and I was like, you know what, you actually probably made my night, dude. Do you know what I mean? You know, and when you tell people that story, you think, God, he's really rude. But I actually thought it was really funny. Because it was like, you got to understand that at that point, Sergio was probably about 20. So, you know, that Britpop thing to him was probably happened when he was 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was like, it was legendary in his head. Do you know what I mean? He probably was used to seeing me in the national news talking about the Spice Girls or something. Do you know what I mean? You know.
I wanted to ask you about Pop Tones because the Hives obviously was
huge.
And you were, that strikes me as creation had gone, Sony had taken it, and you thought, well, I can just do this again.
Well, yeah. I mean, Pop Tones was kind of, well, I mean, there's lots of variations of Pop Tones, but the main idea was that I wanted to sell digital downloads direct to the customer. That's called iTunes. I wanted to do it on creation. 1998, and Sony, I got a real heavy letter off of Sony for the 32nd floor in New York telling me that I wasn't allowed to do it. I probably still got the letter. I'll probably put it up for auction and give it to Teenage Cancer Trust or something, just for a laugh.
That's it my way, I'll quite happily run that.
Oh, right, yeah. And they were telling me that I wasn't allowed to do it, and I was an idiot anyway. So it was a bit like, you know, and of course, you know, 4 years or 5 years, 6 years later, iTunes happens, and everybody's doing it, and
takes 30%.
I mean, it was like, but I wanted to sell downloads, you know. So that really was the idea of Pop Tones, and then, you know, for one reason or another, it ended up pretty physical label, and then you kind of like it just was what it was, you know. And then it kind of disappeared, and then came back when I managed the Libertines and grew back into life, and Lucien Grange did a deal with us. And then, unfortunately, the sad thing about that part is that I got ill, you know, and, like, you know, I don't think you're allowed to be ill at Universal. You're not allowed to be ill.
So
Don't be ill. You'll lose your job.
Do you know Mr. Grangewell? What are your thoughts about him?
Sort of an emperor of the industry. Yeah, he's a good businessman. Do you know what I mean? You know, he's like, do you know what I mean? You know, I mean, I hadn't spoken to him for years, really, for about 3 or 4 years. And I remember in Las Vegas, where the big thing trying to get signed, he phoned me up on New Year's Day from the beach with Philip Green or some fucking guy. And, hey, how's your band? And I'm like, I'm not even in the fucking music business. What are you going on about? You know what I mean? You know, I think it was maybe January 2009. I'd officially left the fucking building, right? And, Lucien hadn't comprehended that it was actually 4 o'clock in the afternoon in England, well, Wales actually, and I was surrounded with four of my nephews and nieces, and it wasn't even my band anyway, you know what I mean, you know, people still trying to buy them, do you know what I mean, you know, and I was like, it's not my band. Yeah. And he didn't believe me, of course, but it wasn't, you know.
Not a man with an off switch. One thing I wanted to ask about creation is some of your staff that have gone on. Emma Greengrass is obviously massively respected now, Caroline International, etc.
Yeah, I didn't know that until very recently, because she asked about the Mary Chain record that I'm making, and I'm meeting Simon Espin, her husband, next week. But we're going to do the Mary Chain in a different kind of way, but I can't disclose yet, but it's not going to be in that traditional way that we're going to do it. Yeah. I'm not being rude, I haven't really kept up with what she's doing, but I know Caroline are doing good stuff.
Yeah, she's doing great. Obviously, Dick and Mark, you know, Wichita and what.
Oh, Dick's, I know about Wichita. One of the weirdest things a lot of the creation people, some of the people I'm really, really close with still, like Anita works with me, you know, and Simon at Creation Management. So I see a lot of Anita, but I saw a lot of Anita, you know, last 10 years, you know, loads of times, you know, we used to hang out loads. But Dick, we kind of, like everybody, like me and you, we're Facebook friends, right? But it's like, but we're more than that. Well, I mean, we've got creation songs to each other and stuff like that. It's like, we're mates, you know what I mean? I mean, when you go through an experience like creation in the 90s and the 80s, you know what I mean, you know, but mainly the 90s, with somebody, and it's as deep as that, you know, you don't need to see them every day, do you know what I mean, you know, so it's a bit like, it's fine, you know, I mean, we see each other when we see each other, and it's never bad. I've never had an argument in 12 years, do you know what I mean, you know.
I've got two moments in creation history I wanted to ask you about. I want to ask you about the night that you saw Oasis for the first time, and I know you've told that story a million times.
It's a fucking boring story.
But the point I wanted to ask is it true that the business was in a bad state on that at that time? The way that the story is told is that Oasis came along just at the right time in creation's financial history.
Oh yeah, they did for ours, but I mean, they did for British music, so it's a bit bigger than us. But I mean, you hear so many rumours about that night. I mean, the best rumour ever is that the NME, Mark Bowman, once said that Sony gave me Oasis. And I went, so what? They gave me $20 million or whatever it was. You know what I mean? You know, nobody gives away money. Do you know what I mean? You know, not unless you're Camelot. Do you know what I mean? You know, so it's a bit like, it floors me, some of the people's ignorance, but it's actually it's kind of funny as well, because it says a lot about people. What people believe what they want to believe, you know, and that's actually says a lot about people. Do you know what I mean? You know.
Speaking of Sony, obviously that's the other moment, double moment, I suppose, in creation history. The first sale of the stake, I understand you needed to do. Is that right?
Yeah. But I mean, see, the thing is, there's no really any point in being. I know I love Slag and Sony and stuff like that. It's good fun, right? But the bottom line is, there's not any real need to do it, because all the people that were at Sony 20 years ago don't exist anymore. So why would you be bitter? Do you know what I mean? Because there's a whole new bunch of people that weren't there.
Yeah.
So it's just another company, do you know what I mean? And actually, I'm friends with the guy that, you know, is the main music guy at Sony, is Rob Stringer.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him in New York about 2 or 3 months ago. And he's a really nice guy. He's still a humble guy, I think, you know, unless he's putting on an act for me, which I don't think he is. So,
well, is that the Manic sign for like 25 years or something?
Yeah, I mean, they're, to be fair, they're still, pretty big band. They deserve to be signed. But it's like a... But yeah, no, Rob Stringer's a nice guy. You know, he's a really nice guy. So it's like, you know.
I suppose the other part of that is when the whole of Creation went, when you signed it off and started again, sold it to Sony in its entirety. Do you ever think about that moment? Have you sort of made your peace with it?
Yeah, it's not the way I think. I mean, it's kind of asking, kind of like, that girl that you kind of met or something, I wish she had blonde hair or something. It's a bit like, you don't, life isn't really like that. I mean, it just stuff happens and you process it and, you know, I mean, probably a better question would be, do you regret not hanging on for 10 years and milking it? You could ask me one day and I'd say, I should have milked it. Overall, I'm glad that I got the fuck out of it because it was getting too corporate. But if you ask me another day, it was easy money because all I had to do was basically fucking shot them fucking a bit like the Queen Mum, you know, like wait, give the Queen Mum's wave and fucking carry on camping. But anyway, that would be dreadfully boring, man, you know what I mean? You know, because what would you be really like? Do you know what I mean? You know, like, you know, just coasting for the next 10 fucking years and waiting for Oasis to put another record. And would I had actually the balls to go and do all the other stuff that I'd done? Do you know what I mean? You know, I had a really great last decade. I mean, I got ill and then I fucked off to Wales and then, you know, a load of stuff like that. But there was a lot. It was free. Do you know what? I was, rather than be at the behest of, like, you know, like the Gallaghers and Ignition and Sony mainly, I was under my own jurisdiction, you know. So it was a lot of fun.
A more comfortable place to be for you?
I don't know if comfortable is the word for it. I think it was just actually more fun. Do you know what I mean? You know, I don't think when you've got absolutely a massive superstar band that, I don't think fun's one of the words you can actually use, you know, when you're working with them. I think it's like, it's could be financially rewarding,
yeah.
Or like it can be, you know, you can stoke your ego and all that sort of bullshit. But I don't think fun's actually a word that I could actually use to say that. I don't think it was ever fun. Not really, not for me anyway. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it was good fun before Sony got involved. Creation and up to about 92, it was good fun.
Speaking of the Leviathan that was Oasis' career, the kind of the way that the third album's been written, the way Be Here Now's history has been written, everyone was saying yes, yes, yes. You know, I've heard Noel say that. Do you regret not saying no more often, or is that not really a true reflection of what went on?
The hard one, man. When he played me the demos, you knew was he going to be as good as What's the Story, Morning Glory, but Cards on the Table, I knew I was going to sell millions of it. What do you do? Because I knew that if I said, well, it's not as good, I would probably end up losing the album when you go direct to Sony.
Yeah.
And if I shut up, I'm going to sell at least 10 million albums, it's sold 11. So I shut the fuck up.
So no regrets?
No.
Why would an act need a record label today? One thing that I've noticed about ex-Creation acts, and they've all made their name, but just for two examples, the Primals and Noel Gallagher both self-released now through...
Yeah, they're at the Q Awards now, getting awards, I believe. I don't know what they're getting awards for, but... And Noel's got an award for, like, best album, which is fair enough, it's a good album.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Primals, maybe best rock and roll band
in
the last 10 years. I don't know what they're getting award for. I don't go to these kind of things. It's like... I run away from them, do you know what I mean? They're always trying to get me to give people awards. And I mean, they'll probably at some point corral me by bullshit me into something. I don't know how they'll bullshit me into being there and then give me some award. But I really, if anybody's listening and is thinking of giving me an award, I'd just save it, it's okay. I would give it away anyway.
I said to you earlier I was going to ask you about this. So yeah. I pre-warned you about this one. I ask you about all the guests. Who in the music business, alive, dead, that worked then, that works now, really respect?
Amit Ertekin, because I met him.
Yes.
And he was fucking amazing. Tried to buy the Teletubbies off me.
How does that work?
Well, he came to my office and he was brought by that guy, Craig Kalman. And Craig, I knew Craig when he was a little guy. And suddenly he was running Atlantic. And he came to see me and he said, I'm bringing Amit. And I was like, fucking hell, man, amazing, right? Okay. And I'd already watched Hip to the Tip. Do you remember that film? Right. So it's like, so I was like, oh, Amit Ertekin, fucking hell, man, it's going to be amazing, right? And he came in and completely, you know, he was about 80 at the time. He had his little stick and stuff like that. And, you know, and then he stayed for about an hour. And then but the third thing he said to me is, can I buy Oasis? And I went, no. And then about the second, well, about three or four questions later, he went, can I buy the Teletubbies? I went, no. But other than that, it was a fucking amazing meeting. No, he was good. It was great because he was obviously in his last legs around that time. So that would be about 99. He must have been early 80s. So it was definitely an away day, like, you know, taken by Craig and it was just like being Amit. But it was great having Amit Ertekin coming in creation. Fucking hell, man. I mean, how great is that? And then Seymour is like, absolutely love him. I like a lot of the American guys, to be honest. I loved Mawson. I like a lot of the American guys. I liked Rob Dickens.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people probably wouldn't believe that, but that's true. Because he never told me a lie, ever. He always said that's good or that's bad or that's shit. And that's great, you know what I mean? And he had a lot of respect for creation, you know, even though he was never involved in it directly, that we just kept doing our own thing. And then he's always been super nice with me. So I like Rob. And then the indie thing, I love Tony. I thought Andy McDonald was great. I like Lawrence Bell. I thought the way Rough Trade was set up was incredible, you know, with the cartel. So, I mean, I think that's amazing. I respect Daniel Miller. So, probably pretty cliched answers I'm giving you, but, you know, I mean, that's kind of... I might have forgotten somebody. I like Jeff Barrett. I think he's a good guy. That's kind of who I like, really, I suppose. If I've forgotten you, I'm sorry.
Final question is... Now you've got a label again.
This is a short interview, fucking hell. Yeah. I was down for like two-hour interview. No. I was getting really fucking grilled. Okay,
easy,
carry on.
Easy. The question is, in the age of Spotify, streaming, YouTube, etc., etc., are you optimistic about what's going to happen to the record industry?
Yes, but probably not for the same reasons that everybody else has. It's like, from disaster, there will be an opportunity that I'm sure I will grasp.
Yeah. I look forward to you doing so. Alan McGee, thanks so much for coming on the Music Business Web. Cheers. Thanks once again to our supporters at CI and to our hosts at Tune Tribe Entertainment Group. We'll be back again in November.